Blog Talk Radio.
Denise Griffiths is your partner in success. Tune in each Friday as virtual assistants, industry expert, web developer, and online entrepreneur Denise Griffiths interviews industry experts from one end of the internet to the other. These expert entrepreneurs freely share their business building knowledge and provide practical guidance that will show you how to build and grow your own very successful business, be it online or traditional brick and mortar. Now, ladies and gentlemen, your partner in success, Denise Griffiths.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to the show. Today, I am really delighted to welcome Wendy Bailey to the show. Wendy, or Wendy Y. Bailey, is the coach's coach. She is called a force of nature and a trendsetter in coaching by the Coaching Commons, a premier industry think tank and journal. She developed and leads the certifying process for certified group coaches. Wendy is affectionately called Wendy Y. by her clients, her business associates, coaching colleagues, and she is a master certified group coach. She is a certified neuro-linguistic programming practitioner and certified experienced coach. Wendy Y. leveraged more than 25 years of leadership and management experience and expertise leading hundreds of teleseminars, live workshops, small to large group training sessions, and created her signature program, Group Coaching Mastery, Master Group Coaching with an NLP twist. And I'm going to ask her what NLP means in a bit. Wendy Y. has created several best-selling group coaching programs, including 33-Minute Mastery, Group Coaching in 33 Minutes, Close More Clients and Make More Money, and Masterful Content, How to Create Compelling and Transformational Content for Your Group Coaching Program. Using influence, persuasive marketing, and powerful language strategies, Wendy Y. helps coaches, speakers, and other training professionals create, design, market, and deliver profitable group coaching programs. Wendy Y. is also the author of the book Group Coaching Mastery, The Coach's Guide to Group Coaching with NLP, which is going to be published next month, I think. So, Wendy, good morning, and thank you so much for being on the show, and welcome.
Good morning, and welcome, and thank you, Denise, for inviting me. I'm excited to be here.
Well, I've been following you around on Facebook and Twitter and, geez, everywhere, so I've been kind of... You leave this breadcrumb, and I'm behind you going, what's she up to now?
Yeah, you know, it's funny because I find a lot of people say that about me. It's like, oh, I know you're always doing something.
Mm-hmm.
Every so often, typically about once a month, I get an email or a message or a Facebook mail or a tweet from someone who says, you know, I've been watching you for a while, and you just keep plugging along. You just try something new, and, you know, if you see it's not working, you move on. If it works, you stick with it. I just love your spirit, and that's kind of who I am.
Right.
Very much who I am.
Well, and that's what makes it so interesting. You know, 10 years ago, somebody said, I've been watching you on the Internet. You'd be calling the police. Now you're like, woohoo.
I'm Yay.
Right.
So thanks for watching. Appreciate you tuning in.
Yeah. It used to be a fairly creepy thing. Now it's, you know, really what has to happen. So let me ask, I've got a ton of questions for you. So you know, I'm going to let you rock and roll here, and I may just kind of bounce in and say, okay, what about this? And I may be breathless, but I do have a lot of questions. So, Wendy, what is group coaching? We hear a lot about coaching, but what is group coaching? Oh, and before we get there, can you tell people a little bit about yourself that I might have missed?
Sure. I'm a single mom of a 19-year-old young man. Woohoo! For 19! Yeah, and you know, I'm an empty nester, so I enjoy being a single lady again and having a life and all of that juicy kind of stuff in addition to being the group coaching diva. I'm originally from the South, and I've worked very, very hard at not being Southern.
Oh, come on now.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I twang all the time. Don't misunderstand. You'll hear y'all here and there, and you hear my little drawl drop in from time to time. But I really have worked hard to not be Southern from the standpoint of being a hick.
Mm-hmm.
And thankfully, I can honestly say I'm not a hick. you know.
No.
I'm not a hick, yay.
But where are you from originally?
Originally, I'm from Macon, Georgia.
Oh.
But I've been in Atlanta, I lived in Texas, and I've been away from Macon longer than I lived growing up there.
Mm-hmm.
And I've, you know, I'm educated, I have a degree in management, which just says I went through the work. And I always loved speaking, connecting, and kind of being an ideas person. And so what I do today, I feel has been paved for it with everything else I've done in my life.
Mm-hmm.
This is business number 4 for me, Denise.
Oh, is it really?
And by far, this is the longest, most successful business I've ever had. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, you know,
that's
not
counting
Amway. But, you know, once you find your passion and you find your niche, it's all good to go. You can't turn back.
Yeah, without question.
Yeah.
And I found myself at home in coaching.
There you go.
Along the way, I'll tell you more about parts of that journey as I respond to some of your questions because it always comes up. And,
right. You
know, part of my experience really lends some insight into how I apply group coaching and what I do today. So I always, you know, share some stories along the way as well.
Good enough. So let's go back to my original question. What is group coaching? And I would like for you to, if you can, if we have time, to explain the difference between one-on-one coaching and group coaching and what the advantages to both are.
Sure, and I may be able to answer that question in one fell swoop, both questions in one fell swoop.
Okay.
Coaching, from my perspective, is a set of tools, a set of skills, a methodology that a professional uses to help a client achieve specific goals and outcomes. So it's a set of skills, a set of tools, a methodology, a strategy, and in the world of coaching, there are lots of sets of tools, there are lots of strategies, there are lots of methodologies, and the one that I draw from, even though I've trained professionally at 4 or 5 different coaching schools, the one that I draw on the most is really neurolinguistic programming. So that's the skill set, that's the methodology that I apply to what I do with group coaching. Individual coaching is applying that set of tools, that set of skills, that methodology with a one-on-one client, you know, one-to-one coach to client. Group coaching is applying that set of skills and tools, in my case, neurolinguistic programming, in a group to serve more people. It's one-to-many. It's, really creating a vehicle for more people to learn and grow and be coached based on your area of expertise.
Now, when you're group coaching, are these live calls? Are they teleseminars? Are they webinars? How do you deliver these?
Oh, okay. Let me tell you the Wendy Y perspective on group coaching and what it's not. And I want to back up and give you a solid definition of group coaching. Group coaching is a highly interactive live or virtual learning experience led by a coach, speaker, or other training professional. It's an effective strategy when you look at it to help you reach more people who are ready to invest in your programs, who are ready to understand how your expertise can help them. It's highly, highly, highly interactive. It's compelling, it's thought-provoking, it's fun, it's riveting, and in my mind, group coaching is transformational. People come into group coaching because they've got some challenge or some problem or some situation that they're faced with, and a group coaching program is really designed to help alleviate that problem, to help resolve that challenge, to help remedy the situation that the people who come to the program are faced with when they come. I call those people learners, by the way, because remember I said in my definition, it's about creating that learning experience. It's a learning experience led. So you'll hear me use the term learners, and I want to make sure you get that. So to go back to your last question, when you think of group coaching as this highly interactive, thought-provoking, engaging, fun experience that's highly transformational as well, that means that it can be live, it can be virtual. It also means that it's not a teleseminar.
Mm-hmm.
These days, when I first started coaching, and I've been coaching now, June will be 8 years, and when I first started coaching, Thomas Leonard was alive, and he taught how to deliver a teleclass. And his teleclasses were very much group coaching.
Hmm.
What I see people do today, they were highly interactive. You got to connect with him. There was conversation. There was dialogue. There was stuff going on, and he made them fun and interesting and introspective and all of that. These days, what I see people call a teleseminar or a teleclass, by the way, Thomas Leonard actually trademarked the word teleclass.
Oh, I did not know that.
Yeah. So teleclass is a word that he coined, that he trademarked, that, you know, really is part of his collection of works that he owns, even, you know, now that he's no longer on this side with us.
Mm-hmm.
He owns the rights to the word teleclass. So teleseminar is what you hear most people say today. And, you know, if they don't understand, that's sort of the background and history of why people use the word teleseminar instead of teleclass.
Oh.
So anyway, today a teleseminar, as most people deliver it, is inviting people to a call, having them sign up through an autoresponder or something like that, muting everyone out, and lecturing.
Right, right.
That is not group coaching.
No, that's a seminar. That's somebody.
That's a lecture by phone.
Right. That's the same
as somebody
standing on the stage and talking at you. It's not.
Yeah.
All,
yeah. And see, I don't see that as group coaching at all. Primarily because it lacks the interaction.
Right.
And without the interaction, the transformation is a little bit more challenging. You don't see, as the coach who is leading the teleseminar, you don't have a sense of how people are responding to what you're saying.
Mm-hmm.
You don't get a real feel for what people's questions are or what kind of shifts they're making or what kind of ahas they're experiencing because there's no interaction. You can't ask them. You can't hear them. You can't see them. You can sense them, but you don't really know. So it's very much one-way communication, and that's not group coaching. I also feel the same way about a mastermind group. That is not group coaching.
I just wrote that down. You're brilliant. I mean, I just wrote that down.
Were you getting ready to ask that question?
I was. So have at it.
Yes, a mastermind.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, what's the difference? Do these coaching sessions turn into sort of a mastermind session? Or are they? Should they be clearly defined as mastermind being very, very different from coaching? Because some lines tend to get blurred.
Yeah, if you think of them in the same way. A mastermind group is different than group coaching as well. You may utilize, as the leader of the mastermind, you may utilize some coaching tools, something from your coaching toolbox. However, masterminding is where you serve as the facilitator of the group. Everyone comes to a mastermind because they have a gift. They have something to share on the particular topic. It's usually topic-based or profession-based,
mm-hmm.
or income-based. And as a facilitator of a mastermind group, you are there to help the flow of sharing. You're sharing what you know within the group about the topic or about the profession or about the income. And based on the goal, the common goal, everybody's working toward it, and you're there to make sure that's a smooth process. That differs from group coaching because in group coaching, you are the subject matter expert. You're the one who knows what there is to know about the topic that you're coaching around in the group experience. So that when the group comes together, they're looking to you. They're bringing their wares. They're bearing their souls, so to speak, in the group. And you're there to help them sort through some information, you know, to find a space so that they can resolve the problem that they presented in the first place that brought them to the group. You're there to coach. You're the subject matter expert. Prime
right.
example, I'm a group coach, master certified group coach. And so people look to me because I know group coaching. So when I bring together a group of learners, I'm the subject matter expert, so whatever comes up around their challenge when they come to me, you know, most of my learners come because they don't know group coaching, they, you know, don't know how to put it together well, they don't know how to develop content, they're still trying to figure out how to engage people. Mm-hmm. And because of that expertise that I have in group coaching, they can look to me to help them navigate those obstacles and hurdles and stuff that comes up, and guide them to be successful in their group coaching as well. Do you see how that those are all different?
I do. I actually do. And I think that's an excellent explanation, because they do tend to, and I've had this happen with clients, well, I want to start a mastermind group, and then I go through all of the questions with them. Well, what is your intent? What? How are you going to deliver content? What? Where are you going with this? And then we kind of go into the coaching. Well, I don't know if I want to do a coaching or a mastermind.
Mm-hmm.
They're very, very confused, and that's when I tell them, well, you really need to sit down and clearly define what it is that you have in mind.
Mm-hmm.
You can't just say, oh, I'm going to do one or both. You just can't. So I will be sending them to you, because you will do a much better job of telling them what they need to do.
Well, thank you.
Thank
you. And, you know, and let me just say that I hear from people all the time, wow, but I just love individual coaching. I really enjoy that. The cool thing about group coaching is you really get the best of both worlds. Just by nature of how you structure your group coaching program, you can build group coaching into it. I mean, individual coaching into it.
Mm-hmm.
I have, you know, programs throughout the course of the year. Some programs I deliver a couple of times a year. Some programs I deliver one time and I, you know, turned it into a product or a, you know, home study course. And when you look at those programs and the way that you structure them, for me, I like individual coaching as well, so I've built in opportunities to individually coach the learners who are part of my program.
Mm-hmm.
I do something I call Wonderful Wednesdays with Wendy Y. And that's like a gym day where for 20 minutes a pop, I am coaching my individual learners about their group coaching.
Yeah.
I'm helping
them. And see, that
makes
perfect sense.
Oh, yeah. So I've got the best of both worlds.
Mm-hmm.
It's lovely.
So it gives them an opportunity to bounce ideas off of you and the group, but then hone that idea a little bit more carefully and finally with you alone.
Exactly.
So that
and then I build that into the certification programs I have as well,
mm-hmm.
because I know that the support is key. And as the subject matter expert, I've got to be there to make sure my learners get it. And I'm invested in that. I'm totally invested in making sure my learners succeed with group coaching. Now, the other cool byproduct, if you will, of group coaching is when you're working with your learners in a group, they really get a sense of who you are as an individual coach.
Mm-hmm.
I don't go out looking for individual coaching clients. What tends to happen is because I'm connecting with people individually in a group, my learners are getting a sense of who I am and how I coach, what my style is, what they like. We're bonding. And based on that bond, they hire me as an individual coach as well. So it's a byproduct for you when you group coach.
And see, that would make a lot more sense. I had this conversation yesterday with a client, and it was about coaching and group coaching and masterminding. We covered all three. And he got all excited. He very, very excited. He's one of these very logical, linear people, wanted to go out and instantly build a website and, you know, say, I'm going to do a sales page rather. He has a couple of websites, but he wanted to do a sales page. He wanted to put his rates out there. And his attitude, I think, was, well, if you build it, they will come. And I said, no.
It doesn't quite work like that anymore.
It doesn't. I said, listen, there's several things that you need to do. But number one is you need to let people know, first of all, who you are, what you bring to the table. You need to have a relationship with them prior to you, you know, coaching them. They need to be confident in your abilities. They need to be comfortable with you. And they'll come to you because they already know you and they really like what you're doing. But you can't just put up a page and say, okay, I'm ready, my doors are open. you'll starve to death. So where was I wrong?
Yeah,
was I right or was I wrong?
Oh, you were right on target.
Okay.
You were right on target. The thing that people don't get today that's different than ever before is we live in a culture, in a society, where economics are really reigning higher in consideration than ever before. That's just
no kidding.
Real. That's
mm-hmm.
just real for everyone. And for the people who are woo-woo saying, oh, well, I don't think of recession and recession. Come on. You know, people, there are people out there hurting big time financially. Because of that, there's an influence, there's an influx for the rest of society who may not really be financially hurting necessarily, but we're impacted by that, and so we're looking at what it all means. We're trying to understand and examine things a little bit more closely. We're a lot more reflective and introspective about how we spend money. With that said, it's become clear that we're in a relationship-driven marketing industry, marketing
Absolutely.
Society. That means you got to know people. You've got to be able to know, like, trust, and I say experience people before you buy.
Absolutely. And, you know, it used to be we were in the industrial age. We were in the agrarian age, and then I think we moved on to the technology age. Now we're in the communications age.
Yeah.
Or the relationship
Social.
Age, whatever anybody
yeah.
wants to call it. I'm sure somebody out there is coining a phrase for this. But we have moved on from the industrial, the agrarian, and the technical age. If you don't have relationships with people that want to work with you prior to them working with you, it's really unlikely given how many coaches are out there, how many web developers, how many virtual assistants. Unless they recognize you, know you, and like you, they're not going to work with you.
That's right.
Really, that's my opinion.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
So,
I agree.
And that's the conversation I had with my client yesterday. I said, you know, and he's brilliant. I think he would be brilliant at coaching and mentoring. But he wanted to look at it from a corporate perspective when absolutely you can't. You have to look at it from a relationship perspective.
Gotta.
So, you know, I had the big talk with him, and he was disappointed. We both cried, and then we moved on.
Well, you know, and those are hard lessons for folks who are new or who are established. You know,
mm-hmm.
you look at it as a continuum, and there are people who have been around for a while, and, excuse me, they know all the tricks from 10, 15, 20 years ago that don't work, so to
they
speak,
don't.
Now.
I see some, and when we're off the phone, I'll ask you if we're talking about the same people, because I bet you we are. We're thinking about
are.
The same people. Yeah,
yeah, we probably
but
are, because the
changed.
Climate has changed.
It has. It
and
has.
I'm, you know, I love doing new things and trying new things and being even radical at times because of how marketing has changed and how the economy has changed and how people are really yearning for relationships, and I'm no different.
Mm-hmm.
I want to work with people that I like. I didn't start a business to be in a situation where I work with people I don't like.
Oh, yeah.
I want to work with people that I enjoy, that I love seeing their success.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't do that if you are just trying to sell to people.
If it's a numbers game, you're doomed
not.
To failure. Yeah, you are
totally
doomed in this
not.
Economy.
Yeah,
I agree. Well, let's go back to NLP. I know you referenced it just a few minutes ago, but explain to our audience what NLP is.
Oh, I love giving my definition of NLP
All right.
because some people get the glazed over look, and some people actually go, okay, I got that. Mm-hmm. NLP is an acronym for Neuro-Linguistic Programming. You know, sounds very technical, sounds, you know, really scientific. And it is a science. It's I won't give you all the history, but let me just say that there are three parts to NLP, the neuro part, the linguistic part, and the programming piece. The neuro part basically says that our mind or our nervous system processes all data and communication through the five senses, taste, sight, touch, sound, smell. Okay? Right. And the touch can also be feelings. So it's not just a physical touch, but it's a sensation as well, internal. And that's the neuro piece. The linguistics piece says that there are systems, communication systems, that our brain kind of codes this processing of information, these filters, if you will, through the five senses. Things like pictures and sounds and taste and colors and images and behaviors and attitudes. And that's the linguistics piece of it. And because of this coding that happens, we have meaning, and it has a specific indication or meaning to how we process that communication through these filters. The third piece is the programming piece. When we understand the neuro piece, the five senses part, we understand all of those different linguistics, the verbal and the nonverbal, images, pictures, all of that, behaviors and attitudes and beliefs. When we understand that, what we can do is recognize those, that programming, if you will, that coding in people, and use those programs to help people, clients, learners, achieve very specific and desired outcomes in their life.
Mm-hmm. So can you give me a for instance?
Sure. If you are, when we talk about the senses, again, you think of taste, touch, sound, sight, smell. So to put it in NLP language, visual, and I'm not really matching it to the order I just used, but visual, auditory, kinesthetic, olfactory, and gustatory is taste. When you think of, and I'm saying you specifically, Denise, when you approach a situation, there are certain aspects of one of those that will be more predominant for you than others. Like you may like to have something painted a particular way for you, a picture,
mm-hmm.
so that you understand something. That's visual. You may like to hear things a certain way, and words may have meaning for you. That's auditory. When you may be someone who likes to touch. I've worked with people all the time. I work with learners all the time who are more tactile and more feeling. So mm-hmm. they want you to express it in a way that they can connect to it that way. When there are people who are more predominant in terms of smell, then you want to help them. I want to help them understand the smell of something and then the taste mm-hmm. of something for the gustatory. So it's recognizing that each of us has a predominant system around the senses, a way of looking at things, a way of receiving communication around one of those systems, and based on that, being able to speak that language to that person through the use of those images and sounds and taste and colors or whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
For example, and this was your question. I wanted to give a little bit of background, but this is your question. Your question is, give us an example. Would you say when I named those, is there one that you thought, oh, I'm definitely that?
Words. But then my second question was tone. Tone is very important.
Yeah, and when you said words, I automatically knew auditory.
Right. And you know, you're from the Deep South. You know this. Women from the Deep South can say the most unpalatable things because we use tone. We can say the most rotten things in the sweetest Southern tone, and we are 4 miles down the road before our victim understands what happened to him.
What is the kill him with kindness?
That's right.
Yeah, kill them with kindness.
Kill them with kindness and run for your life.
Yeah, exactly. Let the honey drip, but, you know, slap them in the face at the same time.
Words are very important to me, both written and spoken.
Yeah.
So
I'm not sure how that falls. Well, I would say you're more auditory. I mean, without really getting into much more than that, I would say you're an auditory learner.
Mm-hmm.
And
that's
kind of how I put it, as a learning style. You're an auditory learner. And based on being an auditory learner, that means when I say words in a particular way or I tap into sounds and help you with words that speak to sound, like saying to you, how does that resonate with you? That's a sound word. That's an auditory
mm-hmm.
word.
Right.
Using a word that's about, you know, I heard this clanging, or I heard this clicking, or how do you hear that, Denise?
Gotcha.
Is part of tapping into who you are as an auditory
right.
learner.
Well, and it's odd that you should say clicking, because, again, the same client that I had yesterday I was talking with, he's not only a client, he's also a joint venture partner, but I use the word click several times in the conversation because when I hear a click in my head, quite literally, I'm done. That means I am through with, and it wasn't anything in the conversation, but we were just chatting. And when I've reached a point with a process or a system or even a person, if that person is ready to move on out of my life for whatever reason, doesn't happen often, but when it does, I literally hear an audible click in my head, and I'm done. And there is no turning back from that click. It's done.
I would say, okay,
yeah,
that is all.
Yeah, yeah.
That is
moving
all.
On now. Yeah, thanks for being here, but I gotta go. So, you know, I would guess that that's what you're talking about when you say neural linguistic. You know, that's what you mean.
Yeah, you know, when you are in the space where, again, you're auditory. Someone else may be kinesthetic. Someone else may be visual. Someone else, and when, as a coach, you've got a group of people that have these different predominant learning styles or sensory styles, what you have to do is mix your language to support the different dominant styles.
Okay, that's
so
what I'm trying to get at.
Yeah, so it becomes very important and necessary for you to paint a picture, for you to color the sound, for you to help the kinesthetic learner feel what you're saying, to help the gustatory learner get taste, to help the olfactory learner, and those are usually not as predominant as the other three, by the way.
Now, why is
that? The gustatory and the you know, that's a good question, and I got to tell you, I don't really know the answer. I think that scientifically in the NLP that Bandler and Grinder did when they created it, they just came to understand that visual, auditory, and kinesthetic were just more predominant for most people.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Kind of like brown eyes. You know, it's
exactly.
Just one of those things. Okay.
It's just one of those things.
So basically, if I'm understanding correctly, When you're creating a coaching program, you have to pretty clearly define in your own head who is going to learn from you in what way. Is that correct?
Oh, yeah, and you're leading right into one of the big challenges that I see coaches face when they come to me.
Okay.
Most coaches are out there doing group coaching programs. And first of all, you know, I talked about it already. They're doing what they're calling group coaching, and it's really a teleseminar series where they're putting, you know, got people in the group, they're putting them on the phone, they're putting them on mute, and they're lecturing.
Right.
That's one thing. The other thing that is a big problem is they're trying to attract the wrong people. They're getting people in their group coaching programs that they don't really want to have there. They get people who are reluctant or uncommitted or unfulfilled. And I call them reluctant learners because they come and they have an attitude, well, okay, I'm here, teach me. You know, learn me some stuff. And the truth is, you want your learners to show up matching and mirroring almost the values you have for your content and your expertise and how you can help them as a subject matter expert.
So you want them to be passionate, engaged, and excited.
Absolutely.
You don't want them to be a tire kicker saying, okay, I'm here, I paid my money, you better give me something.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay.
Exactly. And it really makes a difference when you look at it in those terms, because when you work with people, I call it the sweet spot. When you work with your learners and you are loving every minute that you're shining, your passion is shining through everything you say and you do, and you're connected to them across all of the senses, and they show up ready to meet you there and be a part of the experience that you create that way, you are in your sweet spot, you're loving life, and all is right with the world.
Mm-hmm. And so are they.
And so it is with your learners.
Right, right. I mean, it's a synergy. It just has to happen that way.
Right. And you're creating an environment in that's conducive for them to learn lots and transform lots through
mm-hmm.
that process.
Now, Wendy, when do I? Wendy.
Yes.
I never say it's Wendy, why?
Yes.
How long, when you create a coaching program, how do you decide how long your coaching program is going to be? And, you know, what happens when you have people who just want to, you know, once the program has ended, and you've got people who say, look, I'm not done. I want to keep on working. I guess that's when you take them as individual clients. But how do you determine how long your program is going to be? Is it by what you think your group is going to need, or is it your time constraints? What goes into making that decision?
Well, and what I tell my learners is, I say look at very clearly the problem that you're solving, and then just pour all the content you can into the program. Don't worry about how long it takes. Just pour
mm-hmm.
all of your content into it. Just make it the best solution to that problem. Then you can slice and dice it. What you may find is you've got a year-long program based on all of the just tremendous content that you have for your learners based on that problem that they've identified that brings them to you. And based on it being a year-long program, you've got to look at your learners and how they commit their time to alleviate the problem. Most people these days are challenged with committing a year
yeah.
to a program.
Yeah.
Okay? Most people are really, really challenged with that. So what I say is pour it all in there, then slice it and dice it based on who your learner is. And that kind of answers the first challenge, by the way. So how do you avoid the reluctant, the uncommitted, the unfulfilled learner? You get very, very clear about who your learner is for your program. Your ideal learner for your program has some very clear values that you can identify, some very clear characteristics about who she or he is, and you look at that person as an individual, not as a group.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't say, oh, I work with entrepreneurs, or oh, I work with business owners. Well, that's like saying, you know, half of the world.
I know.
What you want to do is you want to say, I work with small business owners who have revenues of, you know, $300,000 or
mm-hmm.
higher. They have maybe two employees. They've been in business 5 to 10 years. They have, you know, you get very, very specific about that ideal learner's profile. And based on being very specific, you know their personal values, that you know their business values, you understand and have a clear vision of how your one ideal learner interacts with you, what you enjoy about the experience of working, and then you can go about attraction. Now, I'm a law of attraction student. I'm not a law of attraction expert. What I will say, though, just very briefly, is there's something about getting that kind of clarity. It's like, and this is the metaphor I always use, there's something about going onto a car lot looking for a red sports car. Before you go, oh, nobody has this car. I know nobody has this car. And then you go in and you pick it. You get all the features. You pick the rims. You get the radio. You want the spoiler on the back. You want the kit that has the detail on it and all of that. And you drive off the lot, and what do you see? Every
four
freaking,
more just like it.
Yeah, exactly. Every freaking red yeah. sports car on the road.
Yep. When I got my Mercedes several years ago, I thought, I'm the only one in town. Wrong.
Until you drove it off the lot.
I've never
you
seen
saw
another
all of
one.
The, yeah, all of the cars.
Like, oh, darn
well,
it.
Well, the ideal learner is the same way. Once you have that clarity about who that one person is, you see them coming. You go
yes.
to a networking event, you have a conversation, and a light bulb goes off, and you're like, wow, this is my ideal learner.
Mm-hmm.
You go to the, you know, and I'm just going to say this just to be kind of silly. You go to the grocery store, and standing in line behind you, there's somebody who clearly you can see them, you can't hear them, but you recognize that they are your ideal learner just by the way they're dressed. Right. One person.
No,
it sounds
I
silly,
believe,
but I'm
no,
serious.
It doesn't to me. Been there, done that. Mm-hmm. Listen, one of the things that I'd really like to ask you is, you know, about group coaching. What, and it, you've alluded to it just a little bit, when you get somebody in the group who is just going to bring down the tone of the group, and I know it happens. I've had it happen with clients. Sometimes we have to fight.
Oh, that never happens with me.
It does. Come on. Is your nose growing? I just
Woo! Yeah, really. It just grew a mile on that one.
But it does happen occasionally. I've, you know, let the occasional client go because we're just not a good match, or there's just mm-hmm. something that we're not, you know, in complete and total synergy, and it's not a good working experience. When, you know, I'm like you, I work with people I am passionate about working with, that I love working with. Otherwise, I don't. I just don't. I don't need the money that bad. Never will. Not going to happen.
Yep.
So what happens when you get somebody in there and after a while you just understand it's not going to work? What do you do?
What I do is a couple of things. The first thing I do is I pick up the phone and call them and have a one-on-one conversation.
Uh-huh.
And I approach it and I show up in that conversation. You know, how are you doing? How are you? How's the program working for you? And in that conversation, I've opened the door for them to say, oh, it's working beautifully, or, oh, it's not working well, and really to air whatever's going on. And I've had hard conversations, understand, with people who have said, I'm really concerned. I really don't like what's happening in the group. I don't like you.
Ooh.
Yeah. And I've said, okay, fine. I mean, I can't make somebody like me.
No.
So if it really comes to you don't like me, I'm real clear. I'm really sorry this has not worked out for you.
Mm-hmm.
Here's my refund policy, and this is how I'm going to handle it.
Right.
I wish you all the best, you know, good luck, whatever.
See, you're a much nicer, kinder woman than I am. I would stick my tongue out and say, I don't like you either. Nah. Yeah, I just
well,
learned something
and
new.
I, you know, to me, it's all about relationship because I'm not trying to burn a bridge.
No.
I recently, you know, I don't like to get into these kind of details, but because you asked, I want to share this story. I recently had someone who participated in one of my groups, and I could tell she clearly showed up ready to what I call Chuck Spears.
Oh, my.
It was like, I'm going to look for every little thing that I don't like, and I'm going to call you out about every single one of them. And so she sent me an email, and she said, I have some concerns. And I said, great, give me a call. So she called me, and she had some concerns about a couple of things. And one, for me, that I knew was her kind of not understanding group dynamics, she said, I thought you wasted a lot of time talking to that person about that issue they were having.
Oh. Okay.
Well, that's group coaching.
Right.
You know, people come because you created a safe space for them to share details about their problems and challenges and help them within the
and
group, learn
can't
from
the
other people
group,
in the group. Yes.
Right. And can't the other group kind of chime in with maybe some
Absolutely.
Other solutions and advice?
Absolutely. And that was one of her concerns. And so I said to her, I said, wow, you know, the thing that I hear is that's something that may not work for you because of your learning style and where you are. Let me make sure you understand that everybody's not in the same place that you are. And there's some people who, even though they were present when I talked about that scenario before, they may get something brand new because I've covered it in a different way with this one person.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, oh, I never thought of it that way.
Hmm.
So having the conversation about it made a difference. Now, turns out the next week there was something else wrong. And I was kind of like, okay, let's call it a day. Let me give you your money back.
Yeah, yeah. If
you're
not going to be happy, there's not a whole heck of a lot you can do.
No. No, and that's exactly where I got to.
Right.
That's exactly where I got to. And based on getting there, it was interesting to me, she still wanted to be confrontational with me about it.
Hmm.
Because what she said when I told her, well, I'm just going to give you your money back and, you know, it's okay. She said, well, don't you at least want my feedback? And I said, sure, and you've given it and I've heard it and I've received it and I've responded to it. What else do you want me to do? And I'm giving you a refund.
Right.
And even after that, she sent me another email.
Oh.
And was like, well, I'm going to report you to, and I was like, okay.
Mm-mm-mm.
You know. Not
they,
going
those
there.
Those people
with
are out there. You know, they, and the best thing to do is just cut them loose before they do damage to your group.
Yeah.
No question.
Yeah, and
about
I did
it.
That. I totally
yeah.
did that.
Yeah.
But there's a way that you do it so that it doesn't get you crazy and doesn't really fuel the fire. And that's kind of what you're saying, sticking your tongue out and going, well, I don't like you either.
Well, I would do that on
that.
Mute. You know, I would
yeah.
do it, but I would mute the phone while I was doing it. I would be making
well,
faces.
I don't like you either.
Nah,
yeah, exactly, exactly. Well,
anybody who you can picture me behind my phone going, I don't care.
Uh-huh,
but that's not
uh-huh.
how I actually do it. Seriously, I don't. But it would be, yeah, that's just the brat in me, sorry.
But, yeah.
But I would never treat a client like that. I never would.
Yeah, yeah, okay. And I understand. Even at that, that helps you when you put them on mute and you do the you know, tongue thing. However, you still want to be able to, you don't want that to come up in your voice. You don't want that
no.
to come up in, as part
yeah.
of the relationship because you don't want to burn a bridge. Some people,
yeah.
no matter what you do, the bridge has been burnt the second they decided they didn't like you.
Well, there's that. And then part of what you're saying, too, is and probably is unsaid at the moment, but what has to happen here, and I think a lot of people don't understand that the Internet is a vast place. And if you really tick somebody off by either not refunding them their money or being kind and competent to them, whether they deserve it or not,
mm-hmm.
you're going to hear about it on the Internet, and you never, never want somebody bashing you all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
So get your refund policy in place, get that refund processed right away, do whatever you can to make
yep.
the client happy, but if you can't make them happy, cut them loose and give them their money back, let them go. So that's how we operate. You know, I will
it's
never keep
good.
Your money. I am giving you your money back, and God bless you. And I will never say a bad word about you on the Internet, and I expect you to do the same. It works out. I mean, I've only had two clients that I've just said, well, this is not working. And everything's fine. You know, we did it in a very cordial, very professional fashion, and no hard feelings.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you have to, no matter what it is that you're offering, you have to be professional.
And let me back up and say, when you take the time, did you hear me say take the time?
Well, I did.
To understand, to create a clear picture, profile, with detailed characteristics of your one ideal learner, you don't run into that.
Mm-hmm.
You don't run into that. Now, you don't. If you do, let me say this, if you do, it is rare when you take the time to go through that.
Mm-hmm.
It is very, very rare. Like, during the time that I've been in business, I probably, and again, almost 8 years, I've probably had 3 people who have been unhappy with my groups to that
right.
degree. 3.
Right. And that's remarkable, but, you know, I'm with you. You said earlier you're a student of the law of attraction, as am I. You know, I firmly believe that what I think is what comes to me and, you know, what I believe is what comes to me. And I tend not to attract people that are just not going to work well with me. Plus, I have a highly developed spidey sense. I can tell almost instantly if we're just not going to be a good fit.
Right.
And I don't take them as clients. I'm, you know, very happy to make referrals to somebody else, and I will do everything I can to help them. But if my spidey sense is going off, it's not going to happen. Just not going to happen.
Yeah. The other thing that
I
know.
It makes life much easier.
Yeah. Yeah. The other thing I see in the chat, someone's actually saying, well, I source people and I pre-qualify people with questions. I think you pre-qualify people with your sales letter. I think you pre-qualify. Okay. When you are writing copy for your sales letter, for your email, for your tweets and Facebook status updates and fan page information,
mm-hmm.
you're writing to the one ideal learner that you know so intimately well. based on the profile you developed. So as you are writing and crafting and drafting all of those forms of communication, you're writing to that one person and nobody else. So it's not intended for the masses. It's intended for that 1 in 200 or that 12 in 500 or that, you see where I'm going?
Mm-hmm.
You're writing specifically to that one ideal learner, and based on writing specifically to that one ideal learner, it's not at all about having to do a whole lot of pre-qualification.
Right.
You're pre-qualifying based on what you've written because it's designed specifically for the one.
And see, I think out of all the things that we've been chatting about today, I think that is absolutely brilliant, and I'm really grateful you shared that. I agree with you 100%. You cannot go into business, you know, online, virtual, whatever it is that you're doing, if you're working with the kind of society that we're working with, where we are social media driven.
Mm-hmm.
You cannot say, okay, I am going to create a business. I'm going to get 14 clients. I'm going to make $10,000 a month. You have to absolutely hone your message to that one person.
Yeah.
And that one person brings other people because we are a referral-based society the way we work. And, I mean, once you get that ideal client, they drag 20 others with them.
Mm-hmm.
So
sure
that was brilliant,
do.
Wendy Y. Thank you very much for articulating that.
Sure. Sure. It makes a difference.
It does.
Totally makes a difference, Denise. It does. The other challenge that I see people have, coaches have in their group coaching adventure and experience is not being able to fill their coaching groups.
Mm-hmm.
And that's about getting this whole one ideal learner. That's at the core of everything that you do. And one of the pillars of NLP is rapport. Rapport is at the heart of connection. Rapport is at the heart of transformation. Rapport is at the heart of coaching. Rapport is at the heart of group dynamics. Rapport is the key to everything that you do. Rapport is at the heart of conversion. Rapport is at the heart of conversion. And what I mean by that, and I said it earlier, I'll say it again differently in this context. People come to you because they have a specific problem that your group coaching program will solve. And based on that, they want to take the time to get to know, like, trust, and experience you as part of their investment into themselves to solve the problem. So your program has to be about giving them opportunities to know you, to like you, to trust you, not just for the group coaching program, but for your overall business. Because what I'm telling you is not just for group coaching. That aspect is totally about how you market your business. And remember I talked about the sales copy being a pre-qualifier based
mm-hmm.
on what you write? When you understand rapport is the key, your sales copy, your communication, your email, your tweets, your everything you do in marketing, you understand is about a conversation.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
You're creating dialogue. You're connecting, and it's two-way. Yeah, you're writing, but you're writing with the one ideal learner in mind. I tell my learners in my community to imagine that you're sitting in your living room in an easy chair, and just next to you, adjacent to you, is another easy chair, and your one ideal learner is sitting there. Write a message to her as though she's sitting in that chair. Write a message to him based on all of that delicious information you have as though he's sitting right there in the chair. And when you think of it that way, the conversation becomes easy. Filling your groups becomes easy.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, of course, the mechanics of it with social media and all of that become easier because then you're doing more conversation. You're
right.
Helping to generate more dialogue and more conversation and attract your ideal learner to your program.
Yeah. And, you know, that's true when you were, you know, designing, when you were talking just a minute ago about, you know, your business model, even for coaching. I mean, you absolutely defined how I build my websites.
Mm-hmm.
When I talk to website clients, web development clients, They know me. They've already recognized my work. They've been referred by somebody else. They've had conversations with me. They like me. They trust me. They perceive me as an expert. Mm-hmm. I'm not just one of thousands of web developers out there going, hey, I'm really good at this. Come see. Mm-hmm. They're already aware of me. And we do exactly what you just described. I mean, we're out there talking. We're chattering with people on Facebook and LinkedIn. And I used to write very lengthy technical type of documents and post them and wonder why nobody wanted to buy a website. It's like, well, darn. Ding, ding, ding. So I had to tone down the technical writing and get a lot more personal and personable, and oh my gosh. Mm-hmm. So it makes a big, big difference in how people perceive you.
It does.
But they do need to be aware of you and be comfortable with you, no question about it. So let's get technical for just a little bit.
Okay.
There are a lot of ways to deliver your coaching content. I know we've talked about teleseminars, which you and I both agree is not really a way to deliver your content. But if you can you give me some of the resources that you might recommend for people who want to, deliver content, whether it's Facebook, you've got this really cool little show on Facebook.
Yeah, I was going to tell you about that.
So we need to chat because that is so darn cool. And there's just different things. So if you don't mind kind of quickly going through some of the things that people can look at if they're considering doing group coaching, and where can they find you to learn from you if they want to find out exactly what it is that they need to do before they start their own coaching program.
Okay.
And maybe work with you.
Yeah, a couple of things. And we've got about 6 minutes left, is that right?
Yeah, I'm going to bring in a couple people that are on the phone shortly so we don't lose them. But, yeah, we have about 4 or 5 minutes. So.
Wow. Boy, how the time has flown.
Okay.
I was thinking, we've got about 6 more minutes, and you said 4, and I went,
four.
No, I lost 2 minutes. So here's some things that I want to make sure I say. Just because you're doing a phone call using the technology of a teleconference service does not mean that it's not group coaching. What you do live in a group, you can also do, and sometimes I really think better on a teleconference bridge with group coaching.
Something
and
like instant teleseminar or free
calling or something? I was going to tell you the one that I use. The one that I use is nocostconference.com. I love nocostconference.com. because you can get a web-enabled dashboard so you can see who's on the call, you can see how many people, you can literally mute people out, you can record from there, it stores your recordings, and you can download them and edit them and do all of that kind of stuff. The editing tool that I use is Audacity, audacity.sourceforge.com, that's audacity.sourceforge, S-O-U-R-C-E-F, like Frank, O-R-G-E, .com. So those are two tools that I highly recommend, highly, highly, highly recommend when it comes to doing your group coaching program. And I say get comfortable with delivering your group coaching program to about 6 to 8 people, and the more comfortable you get with how you deliver it and how you engage and the tools that you use to really create that learning environment that's interactive, the more people you can have in a group. I've done group coaching programs with as many as 30 people in them.
Oh, my.
Yeah, and it's beautiful because you get all of these different personalities and insight and sharing, and just it creates some yumminess.
I bet.
Yeah, it really, really does. So get good at interaction and delivery and creating the compelling and transformational content, and it makes a world of difference. So you can grow from there, and the conference bridge services I gave will help you to do that. The other thing that I want to tell you about is GoToMeeting.com. I use GoToMeeting because you can also create that same synergy around something visual. Okay, you can give them slides. Yeah, you can give them slides. You can actually have people raise their hands, and you can entertain questions live as well. And the platform that I'm excited about, this is what you were talking about, is my Facebook application. I had a developer approach me back in December about doing it. I had done webinars, and I had actually done Ustream TV. You can do that as well, but I don't care for Ustream. because they have some technical glitches and some things that just happen, and it seems
and it has to be live, and
it's
not the greatest yet. It will be one day, but it's not there yet.
Yeah, and the program that I use, the developer, is Linkto, LINQTO.com, Linkto.com. And they approached me back in December, and I have an interactive Facebook application. I do video, I call it interactive TV. And every week I host an episode where I invite my Facebook people in a group I have on Facebook to come, and we talk about a topic specific to group coaching. I'm on video. They can go on video. They can go on audio. They can chat. And when I record, once I start recording, it's automatically placed into the archive for like 4 weeks at a time.
Mm-hmm.
And just in a way of talking about revenue generating, what I've done is I've taken those archived episodes, and once they come off of the actual application, I put them into my membership community, and in the future, they will be pay-per-view episodes.
Oh, that is brilliant.
It works.
I like
wonderful.
That. Yeah.
It's wonderful.
I like that.
Lots of ways to deliver group coaching.
Yeah, I see that. Well, we're not streaming any longer, but this will continue to go ahead and record. So I do want to ask you very quickly before we open up the phone lines, do you have any quick tips and advice for coaches or speakers or trainers who are just getting involved with group coaching? And where can they find you? Because God knows they need to talk with you first.
Well, they can find me at groupcoachingmastery.com. groupcoachingmastery.com. That's the hub for everything that I do. And even though I have a ton of satellite sites, everything that I do points back to Group Coaching Mastery, and you can find out more information there. For coaches who are getting started with group coaching, I say get really, really clear about that one ideal learner you want in your group. The psychographics, the demographics, the values, the personal and business values. And I get the question all the time from coaches who say, well, what do you mean by values? What's important to your learner personally? Is it integrity? Is it honesty? Is it punctuality? Is it honor? What's important to your learner professionally? Is it integrity? Is it order and structure, is it adventure? Is it freedom? What is it that's important in the way of values to your learner? Get clear about all of that, including how she treats you, how he interacts with you, how she shows up to your programs, how she communicates with you. All of that becomes critical when you're starting to shape and build your program. Because I said it, and I'm going to really drive it home now. When you know your ideal learner intimately well, then you can be in a mode of solving the problems that your ideal learner faces. You know their challenges equally well. So what that means you do is you begin to make a list. Oh, there's this challenge and there's that challenge. Let me tell you about my ideal learner. My ideal learner is Janet. Janet is a 50 to 60-year-old, sometimes she's 40 to 50-year-old, no more than 10 years typically in the age span. But Janet is a coach who's been coaching for 3 to 5 years. She's received her formal coach training, and now she is ready to step into group coaching. She's tried unsuccessfully a couple of times to have a group coaching program, and it just hasn't gone all that well. And what she realizes is she wants more from group coaching. She wants to connect with more people. She wants to help more people. And what I have for her is the 33-minute mastery program that will help her to begin that process of looking at how to help people with group coaching, the 33-minute mastery program. And you actually put a link in the chat so people can find out more about that there. It's groupcoaching.com. groupcoachingmastery.com/Denise Griffiths. So people can find out more about that program there. And so Janet is coming to me because she wants that program, and that program will solve her problem of how to connect and how to get clear about beginning with group coaching.
Okay.
So when I say to you that's the tip for coaches, I model what I teach.
Right.
I'm clear about who Janet is. I know how she interacts with me. I didn't go into a lot more detail about that, but I do know all of that information as well.
Okay.
And each program that you design solves another problem. Still working with Janet, just a different problem.
Mm-hmm.
Because the way that I've been able to carve out my niche or niche in group coaching is by solving a different problem. 33-minute mastery is for beginners. Certified group coach program is for the next phase. Laser coaching mastery is a program that I'm coming out with that I'm working on right now. It's all about laser coaching. That's a different problem. It's still Janet, but it's a different problem. Close
gotcha.
More clients is all about conversion. You know, the DIY Tech Talk is all about the technical stuff. Fill your coaching groups is all about using social media to fill your groups. Every program is designed to help Janet with a specific problem. That's
right.
How I've carved out a niche.
Well, and not only that, but by breaking those programs up rather than having one huge program,
mm-hmm.
again, nobody can commit to a year. They don't want to wait a year to start a new business. But beyond that, not everybody, even Janet, may need all of those particular things. She may be fine in one area and really not particularly well educated in another. So it makes perfect sense to break those programs out.
Right.
So,
right.
You know, and what you're talking about here, too, really, in web development, I have the same exact conversation with my clients.
Mm-hmm.
When people land on your website, they are coming there not because they want to see the pretty flashing images. They don't want to see a whole ton of pictures of you, although those are nice. It, you know, lets them see who you are. They are coming there for one reason only, for a solution to a question, for a solution to a problem, an answer to a question. That's it. You have to be able to provide them with answers to the questions they either know they have or may not know they have, but they are coming to you for answers. And that's what your website is supposed to do, group coaching, same thing, if I'm understanding you correctly.
That's right.
Okay, good.
That's right.
Well, listen, do we have a moment? I know we're running long here, but this
I'm
is
fine.
Fascinating.
I'm fine.
So
I don't typically schedule calls on Friday, so got me as long as you want me.
Oh, good. Well, and I've got a teleseminar coming up in a little bit, but I do have a couple people on the call on the switchboard, so let's see if Blog Talk Radio will let them in this time. So this is Wendy Y and Denise Griffiths. Do you have a question for Wendy Y?
Hi, this is Judy, the journaling genius. Can you hear me?
I can hear you, but can you get a little closer to the phone?
I'm right up on it. How's that?
Yell. There you go.
Yell.
Yell.
I can hear you now.
Yeah.
Can you hear me now?
I can.
Can you hear me now?
We hear you, Judy. What's your question?
Okay. Yeah, I love what you're saying. First of all, I have to say I'm a sister Georgia girl myself. I'm Air Force brat, born in Albany, and my dad lives in Macon. So,
yeah.
I live in California. I love what you're saying about the marketing materials and stuff. The challenge I sometimes have is with referrals. So somebody, especially if it's somebody that I do a lot of workshops, so somebody might drag somebody to one of my workshops who isn't necessarily in my niche. And may not have the values and stuff. So when you get somebody on your call like that, how do you manage that?
Great question. I call those people reluctant learners.
Yeah.
In the context of neurolinguistic programming, they just have a different learning style. And so what you want to do is tap into that learning style. And I will tell you there's a learning style or a sensory style that in NLP is called unspecified. And it's auditory digital. They're really in need of more data and more information. So what you do when you have the reluctant learner is you give them lots of data and information, and it's all like painted and covered in rapport. So your goal is to connect with them and build rapport and bond with them in the face of giving them tons more information.
I do that. I must admit, because I'm also NLP trained, and I'm actually highly visual, but I'm also auditory digital. I've got all those voices in my head,
uh-huh. mm-hmm.
so I can relate to that.
See, so you're, and I'm auditory digital too. If you can imagine, I talk a lot and do a whole lot, but I've learned to do that. But when you're in that space with the reluctant learner, just love them, kill them with kindness, just, you know,
that's
give
that
them a whole
southern
lot more
thing.
Information. And yeah, it's the southern thing. Just, you know, draw a little bit more if they're southern. Say, what is the Boston? Just curl your R's if they're from Boston. You know, just bond with them and build rapport. Just cover the more information you give them in rapport.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Thank you. And I also, I love what you're saying about getting people into their niche. That's one of the things that I do too, is narrowing their niche. And people fight that so hard. They have that, I want to be everything to everybody.
And you just can't be. And you know
right.
how I put it to them, Judy? I tell people, okay, if you've got $1 million that you want to spend on marketing, go for it.
Right.
But if you really don't have $1 million to spend on marketing, listen to me and pay attention to what I'm telling you.
Right. That and or team of 30 people. Yeah, exactly.
That gets people's attention. It's like, well, I don't have $1 million. Well, okay, then listen to me. Because I know what I'm talking about.
Well, I really enjoyed this. This is great. Thank you. I was making notes.
Sure. Sure, and we're Facebook friends as well. I
yes,
recognize your name and who you are. So we have an opportunity to connect after this call as well.
Excellent.
You'll love that.
Okay, Judy, did you have any more questions?
I think that's it for now. Thanks.
Well, we had a couple of other callers, but it looks like they dropped off. So, Wendy Y., thank you so much for being here with me today. You gave us a lot of information and a lot of wisdom and insight, and I appreciate that very much.
Sure. Glad to be here. Thank you for the opportunity to share. I'm standing in my sweet spot in my passion, and sometimes you just can't shut me up. I love it.
Well, and that's really what it's all about, isn't it? I mean, you have to be passionate and excited and willing to share it all. And Judy and I have had this conversation. I've had it with several other people. You can't go back to that old corporate mindset and hug your ideas and your thoughts to your chest anymore.
No.
You have to share. You have to give it, and you have to put it out there. And it will come back to you, but you can't just hug it all and hide it and hope that nobody takes your idea.
Yeah.
It's just not the way life works any longer. But thank you so much for being here today.
Sure,
and,
sure. Can
and
I say one quick thing about that?
Mm-hmm.
I get asked the question, how much content is too much? All the time. And I don't believe there is such a thing. I share content very freely because I always know I have more to give.
Exactly.
Always know I have more to give. As I'm, you know, thinking about that list of problems and challenges that Janet has, I can always go back to that list and solve another problem for her. That's more content. That's brand new stuff.
Oh, absolutely. And you've helped somebody, and by you helping her, she'll help somebody else, and it's the whole pay it forward thing.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we have to be very, very willing and very open about what it is that we're going to do on the internet, because this is where we live.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is just how we do business these days, and it's a whole different set of rules and ideas. And the more you give and the more visible you are, the more creative and the more, you know, compassionate you are with people, the more your business grows and the happier you are and they are as well. I mean, I love what I do. I would never, never, never go back into a job, never. In fact, I'm unemployable. I can't even go back into a job. So.
Me too. A friend of mine asked me about 6 years ago. I had been coaching for a couple of years, and I was still, you know, trying to find my financial footing in coaching and in business. And she said, what would you do if you had to go back to work? Now, this was 6 years ago. I said I would leave the country. So imagine how I feel today if I were asked that question today. I would have to find a way to get to space.
It's not an option. It just never occurs to me that that will ever have to be my reality. Not going to happen. But, yeah, well, thank you again, Wendy Y. So I really appreciate it. And we will be talking again. I've got all kinds of questions for you.
Sounds great, Denise. Thank you for the opportunity.
Oh, you're very welcome. So, everybody, this is Denise Griffiths and Wendy Y., Wendy Bailey, and we are wishing you a wonderful weekend. And I'll see you next week. Bye, everybody.